Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
LeBron James is an undeniably great basketball player, but some of the stuff he says is just so dumb. We'll get into that a little later. Right now, I want to talk about the Falcons, man. It's like there's so much conversation surrounding this Sunday night football matchup, but we really don't know what Atlanta's doing. To help us get a better understanding is our guy Josh Kendall, covers the Falcons for The Athletic. Josh, thanks for making time for us. Happy holidays, dude.
Happy holidays to y'all. Now, I hope y'all didn't come on here thinking I could tell you what Atlanta's doing. I don't know half the time either.
You could give us a better idea than we got right now. How about that?
All right.
Let's start with the quarterback switch. It's a pretty soft landing spot to get to go against the Giants, but how did Penix look? How has the team reacted to that decision?
Looks great. The team responded with a lot of energy. My understanding is that the coaching staff was slower to come to this conclusion than the locker room. Mm. And nobody is in locker room has said that because they do have a ton of respect for Kirk Cousins. It's hard not to. The guy carries himself like a real professional and a really good teammate. And you've seen that particularly after he was demoted. But there was a little more bounce in the offensive step because they had become so limited or had limited themselves. I don't know that we know exactly where the line there is with Kirk Cousins under center. You knew exactly where Kirk Cousins was going to be in the pocket, exactly when he was going to be there. The play action stuff that makes this Sean McVay offense kind of go was not really available to them, or at least they weren't accessing it. Getting him out of the pocket was not really available to them, or they weren't accessing it. The throws outside the hash were an adventure at Kirk's current state. And Michael Penix immediately gives you all of that. So I think that the team responded really well, and the offense, despite not great stats, looked pretty good.
Does the fact that Kirk, I have some limitations at this point after the surgery. It didn't seem like that early in the year, but as the year went on, you could see things starting to affect him. Did that make them make that decision?
Yeah, they really thought that they were going to be able to – this transition process was going to be a 12 or 24-month transition process. That was how they pictured it in their mind. And they had such a concrete picture of that in their mind that it took them a long time to get off of it. A week before they benched Penix, Raheem Morris said, you know, we're not going to be one of these organizations that, you know, makes these harsh and rash decisions. We're not going to be one of these organizations that puts a young guy out there too early and affects his long-term development. That's just not who we're going to be. This is our plan. This is our plan. This is our plan. Eventually, they just decided, you know, it's not going to work. Our plan did not work. We've got to quit being stubborn. We've got to make the move. So far, yeah, I mean, it worked really well. But as you point out, that's the Giants. You know, we'll rewind history a little bit and go in the Raheem Morris Wayback Machine. in Tampa Bay, his first stint as a head coach, they throw Josh Freeman in the first-round pick into the lineup midway through the season. He beats the Packers 38-28. Everybody's feeling okay about themselves. Freeman loses his next five. So, you know, that's great. Penix looked great. You know, the NFL, to steal a phrase that I've heard somewhere, is a do-it-again league.
Sure.
So can you do it again?
Talking with Josh Kendall from The Athletic, covers the Atlanta Falcons, coming up to D.C. this weekend for the ball game. You can follow him on X at Josh the Athletic. One thing that will really help Penix, and I like Penix a lot, but one thing that will really help him is the lock. I covering the Skins and whatever, the Washington organization, I've seen a lot of quarterback changes over the last decade, and the locker room always knows. Now, whether they say it or not, the guys that are out there playing know when something needs to change. Have they kind of rallied behind the young kid?
Oh, they absolutely have. I think that he is mature to the point of boring. You know, he is not a guy. He is unflappable. He is, you know, flatline emotionally. For the most part, but he has, you know, developed a strong relationship with his new teammates would be, that's not right, because he's just now getting a lot of first team reps, but they respect him. They believe in him. They feel like their capacity as a team offensively and defensively is much higher with him in the lineup. So you do see that bounce in their step.
Good. And another guy that could really help him is Bijan. How big of a threat is Bijan Sunday to maybe allow Atlanta to control the game on the ground?
Well, that's what you hope for Bijan. You want him, his ceiling, the ceiling that he has shown, and Bijan is great. The ceiling that he has shown so far is to be that kind of back, the guy that allows you to move the chains. He is, when they drafted him, they said this guy is a home run hitter. And to be frank, he hasn't hit a ton of home runs. I think 38 yards is still his longest run in the NFL. He's got a couple of above 30. Yeah, this is not Saquon Barkley. What this is a guy that can turn negative two into positive two and negative two into seven. And that is huge. I mean, that's not unimportant at all. So if they can just keep Bijan Robinson chewing up the clock and maybe break a few 12s and 18s, I think that that will be good enough to allow the passing game to do what it needs to do.
Is that something that they have to do to make sure it works? Because, you know, this league today, people go away from the run so damn quick that it troubles me.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll get away from the run really quickly. And I do think that they want to establish the run to keep that front seven off of Penix as best they can. One thing about Penix, he didn't take a sack in his first game. They gave up some pressures, but he didn't take a sack. Gets the ball out of his hands really quick. He's smart. Again, let's see how it translates against a Dan Quinn defense that's going to present more problems than a New York Giants team that was just done. So, but I think that Penix gets the ball out of his hands quickly. I think that he can avoid taking the big sacks. I think that he can avoid giving up making the big turnovers, but the more you can run the ball, the more you can help with all that.
Oh, for sure. And then in the passing game, you know, Drake London's a high draft pick, Kyle Pitts is a high draft pick, but I think, is Darnell Mooney their best receiver, at least statistically?
That's still Drake, but it's close. In all likelihood, both Drake and Darnell will cross 1,000 yards receiving on Sunday night. Drake needs like 28. Darnell needs like 45. They are a good complement to each other. If I'm picking one guy who is their best receiver, for me, it's still Drake London. But they're just different guys, and that's why they work well together. Drake is a big body, win at contact, possession type receiver. Darnell is more of the deep intermediate stuff. Can get, you know, those layered throws that you see. You'll see a lot of third down stuff to Darnell Mooney, particularly if it's third and long. If you're the Falcons, if I'm the Falcons and for some reason I have to keep one and they're not in that situation, I keep Drake because I do think he is better at what he does. He is more elite at what he does than Darnell is at what he does, but they're both really good.
So what's the defense like in Atlanta?
Well, first half of the year, it was terrible. They have gotten better. They have specifically gotten better. Their defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake, pointed out against the run, which has allowed their pass rush to get home some. So in the last four games, I think that this defense leads the league in EPA per play. That's a dramatic difference in what they were doing in the first half of the year. And a lot of that is, you see this with teams that play a lot of zone, which Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake do. It takes and run a lot of games to create pass rush. They don't have a dominant pass rusher. So everything's got to work together. And they have done a nice job. You got to give them credit. I haven't always done that. They've done a nice job just gradually getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. The biggest worry for them coming into this game, I think, is run fits. They're really happy with their run defense. But it's not going to be tested the way Jaden Daniels will test it, because he opens up another gap in the run game, and because, boy, if you just give him a sliver, his straight line speed is not like anything they've seen in a while.
We're talking with Josh Kendall here from The Athletic, covers the Falcons for The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Josh The Athletic on X. You brought him up in Jaden, and you're obviously covering the Falcons. I know the beat life, like you're so immersed into what Atlanta's doing. But just as an outsider looking in or getting ready for the game this weekend, what do you make of what Jaden has put together this year?
I think it's been great. I think it's been delightful. I appreciate the Commanders and Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn for putting him in a position to do the things that he does really well, because he makes the league more fun. We've talked about the NFL being a do-it-again league. That's not just game-to-game. That's season-to-season.
Sure.
So am I ready to tell you that Jaden Daniels is going to be the next Lamar Jackson, 2.5, 3-time MVP? No, I think we've got to see that. But it's been fun to watch him be able to do the things that he does so well, even if they're not necessarily traditional. 10 years ago, even maybe 5, but certainly 10 years ago, I feel like the league would have tried to bang him into a mold that they wanted him to be in, and we've gotten away from that, which I think is a good thing. So it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it really has been. And just kind of as you watch this thing unfold, you brought Dan Quinn up a bunch. And, obviously DQ was in Atlanta as the head coach. We all know what happened in that Super Bowl. He's, I think, fired 2 years later. How do Falcons fans feel about Quinn? Because people here, I think, were fairly lukewarm on the hire, but love the dude now.
It's just so difficult to remove 28-3 from their heads, and you sort of get that organizationally.
Yeah.
But if you could, I think that they would remember the Dan Quinn era very favorably. They should, at least. It's one of the best stretches in team history. This is not a team with a ton of history, but they were really good under Dan Quinn for long stretches. And the players in the locker room, there are 5 guys on the 53-man who played for him. To a man, I think, liked Dan Quinn, appreciated Dan Quinn, felt like they were playing some good ball at times under Dan Quinn. So I get it that he was, sort of a fallback position in Washington, but what he's got a really good knack for is coming in, making a group of guys believe in themselves and play a little bit harder, and that's really worked for this team. Long term, who knows? Right now, it's fun.
It is.
It's remarkable because, like, as you know, journalists and reporters were kind of trained to be skeptical, and coming off the Rivera era where everything was talk, there's all this talk about unity and building everything together, and it just fell flat every step.
Yep.
It was hard to believe or fully buy into DQ, but the players have. Like, it being in that locker room, you see it every damn day. It's pretty remarkable. Last one for me, Josh. Specific to 28-3, do fans hang that more on DQ, or are they still mad at Kyle too?
They put 100% blame for that on everybody. You know, there's so much it was such a sting that they've got enough blame to go around. So it just depends on who's in their crosshairs at the time. I think that they blame it on Arthur. You can blame it on Arthur Blank. You can blame it on DQ. You can blame it on Kyle. Plenty of blame to go around, and they're happy to give it.
Hey, Josh, we really appreciate this, man. This is a great interview. We appreciate your time, bro.
Thanks. Yeah, appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, Josh Kendall covers the Falcons for The Athletic. Give him a follow at Josh The Athletic. Smart dude. Really good insight right there. You got to slow Bijan down. If he's a grinder, like he's saying.
Yeah.
But
the thing about it, he may not be Saquon at this point, but you know what? He has the speed to be a Saquon.
And they have – Washington has been pretty good against the run. They have a bad habit of giving up home runs. Like, you don't want to groove one down the middle, man.
Hell no.
When we come back, PFT commenter joins us at 11. We got Jeff's hype song at 11:30. Amelia Draper, NBC4, gives us the weather report for Sunday Night Football at 11:45.